The Lord's School Prayer. Federally inspected, cleared, approved, recommended, and compulsory for use in all schools, both public and private. Our Father, which art in heaven, hello, what's your name? My thinking none. We will be dumb in class as they are in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, but no lunch. And Lord, give us no school buses, as we will give no school buses to them that are against us. And teach us nothing but creation, but deliver us from evolution. For thine is the republic, and the power of old glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, this Lord's Prayer parody, it comes from a book I got from the Reverend called Not the Bible, and many thanks for sending it. Okay, Not the Bible, containing the good Old Testament and Neo Testament. Translated out of the original English, condensed, edited, improved upon, and authorized by the Reverend Oral McGeorty, D.D. I think it means diocese, or something like that. With the assistance of Dr. Anthony Hendra and Professor Sean Kelly of the Not the Bible Institute, Oral State University, USA. And this is Pastor Rex Cat. And this is Allen Ginsberg.
America. America, I've given you all, and now I'm nothing. America, $2.27, January 17th, 1956. I can't stand my own mind. America, when will we end the human war? Go fuck yourself with your atom bomb. I don't feel good, don't bother me. I won't write my poem till I'm in my right mind. America, when will you be angelic? When will you take off your clothes? When will you look at yourself through the grave? When will you be worthy of your million Trotskyites? America, why are your libraries full of tears? America, when will you send your eggs to India? I'm sick of your insane demands. When can I go into the supermarket and buy what I need with my good looks? America, after all, it is you and I who are perfect, not the next world. Your machinery is too much for me. You made me want to be a saint. There must be some other way to settle this argument. Burroughs is in Tangiers. I don't think he'll come back. It's sinister. Are you being sinister, or is this some form of practical joke? I'm trying to come to the point. I refuse to give up my obsession. America, stop pushing. I know what I'm doing. America, the plum blossoms are falling. I haven't read the newspapers for months. Every day somebody goes on trial for murder. America, I feel sentimental about the wobbly. America, I was a communist when I was a kid. I'm not sorry. I smoke marijuana every chance I get. I sit in my house for days on end and stare at the roses in the closet. Whenever I go to Chinatown, I get drunk and never get laid. My mind is made up. There's going to be trouble. You should have seen me reading Marx. I have mystical visions and cosmic vibrations. America, I still haven't told you what you did to Uncle Max after he came home from Russia. I'm addressing you. Are you going to let your emotional life be run by Time magazine? I'm obsessed by Time magazine. I read it every week. Its cover stares at me every time I slink past the corner candy store. I read it in the basement of the Berkeley Public Library. It's always telling me about responsibility. Businessmen are serious. Movie producers are serious. Everybody's serious but me. It occurs to me that I am America. I'm talking to myself again. Asia is rising against me. I haven't got a Chinaman's chance. I'd better consider my national resources. My national resources consist of two joints of marijuana, millions of genitals, an unpublishable private literature that goes 1,400 mph, and 25,000 mental institutions. I say nothing about my prisons, nor the millions of underprivileged who live in my flower pots under the light of 500 suns. I have already abolished the whorehouses of France. Tangiers are the next to go. My ambition is to be president, despite the fact that I'm a Catholic. America, how can I write a holy litany in your silly mood? I will continue. Like Henry Ford, my strophes are as individual as his automobiles. More so, they're all different sexes. America, I will sell you strophes, 2,500 apiece, 500 down on your old strophe. America, free Tom Mooney. America, save the Spanish loyalists. America, Sacco and Vanzetti must not die. I am the Scottsboro Boys. America, when I was 7, Mama took me to communist cell meetings. They sold us garbanzos, a handful per ticket. A ticket cost a nickel and the speeches were free. Everybody was angelic and sentimental about the workers. It was all so sincere, you have no idea what a good thing the party was. In 1835, Scott Nearing was a grand old man, a real mensch. Mother Bloor made me cry. I once saw Israel Amter plane. Everybody must have been a spy. America, you don't really want to go to war. America, it's them bad Russians. Them Russians, and them Chinamen, and them Russians. The Russia wants to eat us alive. The Russia's power mad. She wants to take our cars from out our garages. Her wants to grab Chicago. Her needs Red Readers' digests. Her wants our auto plants in Siberia. Him big bureaucracy running our filling stations. That no good. Ugh, him make Indians learn read. Him need big black niggers. Ah. Her make us all work 16 hours a day. Help. America, this is quite serious. America, this is the impression I get from looking in the television set. America, is this correct? I'd better get right down to the job. It's true, I don't want to join the army or turn lathes and precision parts factories. I'm nearsighted and psychopathic anyway. America, I'm putting my queer shoulder to the wheel.
Friends, this is the Health, Heart, Hope, Happiness, Horniness, and Hubris show. Friends, bringing you the sounds of gospel salvation. If you've got a sinful soul, you're going to tell you about salvation so your spinal column will be replenished in the meadows of Lethe. Friends, you smoke grass by the side of God's own little stream flowing there in heaven, heaven above in the starry abodes. Now, friends, send in $1.98 to Fugs, F-U-G-S, station WWVA, Wheeling, West Virginia. Friends, the sounds of gospel rock, and we're going to send you 143 laminated canasta decks with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right there beaming up at you when you're sending away with the sinful cards. So that one little fiery tidbit of the copying of the visual on our Lord and Savior, his Jesus Christ, might get into your brain and prevent your ass from frying like a frito in the skillet of Hades. Friends, now, I want to turn the meeting over to Salvation himself, Reverend Kenny Weaver.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you. Glory, right? And all that shit. Right. Okay. Look here now. That's Country Eddie talking to y'all there. We got some high holy hardware I want to hip you to. I sent off for a little book from New York City. Learn how to speak hep talk. Smoke a little pod. Little reefer. Anyway, we got this high holy hardware. I got to push the merchandise here. It's, I know all you people out there, you think you find God through psychedelic drugs. Maybe you do. If you do, it's a dollar in my pocket. That's fine. So, now look, I know y'all all like posters. I read Life magazine. And, so we got some posters that's going to curl your short hairs, friends and neighbors. We got one. It's a specialty. It's 40 feet tall. If you got a tall house, live inside a flagpole, whatever, you can use this and surround yourself with it. What it is, it depicts a story from the Bible, a little-known story, I must say. It depicts Mary Magdalene. Y'all heard of her. She was a whore. Roll for dough. Mamie Stober of the New Testament. Anyway, she shows her up on stilts, eating glass.
And now we're going to close out the Fugs Health, Heart, Hope, Happiness, Hubris, and Horniness show. Friends, the little sounds of salvation rock. Damn. It's called My Baby Done Left Me.
God damn her eyes.
My baby done left me. My baby done went to the drive-in movies with someone else. And I feel like homemade shit. My baby done left me. My my baby done parked by Coonskin Creek with someone else. And I feel like home is shit. Claire June, I'm kicking up sparks for you. Claire June, Claire June, I'll give up poo for you only 'cause I feel like homemade shit. I'll sit in church and hold your hand. I'm gonna give up heifer fucking. I'm gonna buy me a suit from the Sears catalog. Not gone. Claire June, Claire June, come back, Claire June, I feel like homemade shit.
Take it away, Kenny Pop.
I'm sitting in a tavern and holding my head.
Head.
My heart's a pounding like a 16 dog's hot dog. Claire June, Claire June, I sure do miss that poom poom poom. Claire June, I feel like homemade shit.
One more time.
I feel like homemade shit.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brethren Gospel.
20 years ago were coming to this life. The song of a woman and a man who lived in strife. He was tired of being poor, and he wasn't into selling door to door. And he worked like a devil to be more. Different kind of poverty now upsets me so. Night after sleepless night, I walk the floor and I want to know, why am I so alone? Where is my woman? Can I bring her home? Have I driven her away? Is she gone? And I'm driven to my bed. I see that it is empty and there's devils in my head. I embrace the many-colored beast. I grow weary of the torment. Can there be no peace? And I catch myself just wishing that my life would simply cease.
We'd like to do a medley of our hit.
You all right, lad?
Yeah, roughly.
It's late at night. Oh. You've really been fantastic waiting for all these people. Wow.
From the book In Praise of Indecency by Paul Krasner, I will be reading Porn and the Manson Murders. Okay. For a sec. Here we go, Porn and the Manson Murders. The recent TV movie Helter Skelter perpetuated the myth of Charles Manson in 1969 when the news broke about the massacre of pregnant actress Sharon Tate and her house guests. There was a sudden epidemic of paranoia in certain Hollywood circles. Actor Steve McQueen fled to England, for example, and I wondered why. After the trial of Manson and his brainwashed followers, I began my own private investigation, if only to satisfy my sense of curiosity about the case. I corresponded with Manson, visited Charlie's Devils in prison, including Susan Atkins, and in a classic example of participatory journalism, I took an acid trip with a few family members, including Squeaky Frum, who is now behind bars for attempted assassination of then-President Gerald Ford. Ed Saunders' book The Family had mentioned that Los Angeles police had discovered porn flicks in the loft at the crime scene, the home Tate shared with her director husband, Roman Polanski, who was in London at the time of the murders. And yet, the prosecutor in Manson's trial, Vincent Bugliosi, denied in his book Helter Skelter that any porn flicks had been found. It was possible that the police had indeed uncovered them, but lied to Bugliosi. I learned why when I consulted the renowned San Francisco private investigator Hal Lipson, whose career had been the basis of an excellent film, The Conversation, starring Gene Hackman. Lipset informed me that not only did Los Angeles police seize porn movies and videotapes, but also that individual officers were selling them. He had talked with one police source who told him exactly which porn flicks were available. A total of 7 hours worth for $250,000. Lipset began reciting a litany of those porn videos. The most notorious was Greg Bautzer, B-A-U-T-Z-E-R, an attorney for financier Howard Hughes, together with Jane Wyman, the former wife of Governor Ronald Reagan. There was Sharon Tate with Dean Martin. There was Sharon with Steve McQueen. That was a silent aha moment for me, since one of the victims was Jay Sibbering, Hollywood hairstylist and drug dealer to the stars. There was Sharon with two black bisexual men. Quote, "The cops were not too happy about that one," unquote, Lipset recalled. There was a video of Cass Elliot from the Mamas and the Papas in an orgy with Yul Brynner, Peter Sellers, Warren Beatty, coincidentally Brynner and Sellers, together with John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas, had offered a $25,000 reward for the capture of the killers. Ah, yeah. I always felt the executioners had a prior connection with their victims. I finally tracked down a reporter who had hung around with police and seen a porn video of Susan Atkins with one of the victims, Wojtek Frykowski. When I asked Manson about that, he responded, quote, "You are ill-advised and misled, Sebring Dunn. Susan's here, and I think he sucked one or two of her dicks." I'm not sure who she is walking out from her stars and cages. That girl loves dick. You know what I mean, hun? Yul Brynner, Peter Sellers, da-da-da-da-da, unquote. Meanwhile, Charlie had become a cultural symbol. In surfer jargon, a Manson means a crazy, reckless surfer. For comedians, Manson had become a generic joke reference. I asked him about how he felt about that. He wrote back, quote, "I don't know what a generic is, joke. I think I know what that means. That means you talk bad about Reagan or Bush. I've always had Rand poker games and horrors and crime. I'm a crook. You make the reality in court and press. I just ride and play the cards that were pushed on me to play. Mass killer, it's a job, what can I say?" End quote. But Manson had apparently been moonlighting, because his new CD, All the Way Alive, was recently released. He was discussing with the producer of his album the notion that people's public images can be vastly different from the way they behave in their private lives. As an example, Charlie mentioned the sex movies Steve McQueen and Peter Sellers were doing with Sharon Tate. And that's it. And this is from Paul Krasner, titled In Praise of Indecency. And here's a quote from the Los Angeles Times about Krasner himself. "Krasner has the uncanny ability to alter your perceptions permanently." By George Carlin, "The FBI was right. This man is dangerous and funny and necessary." And this was sent to me by Reverend Bookburn. And again, many thanks to the Reverend. Okay. Well, I may as well wrap this show up. But before I do, I'm going to give the playlist from start to finish. Pastor Rex Cat, myself, reads the Lord's Prayer from Not the Bible. Allen Ginsberg does America with Closing Time by Tom Waits playing in the background. Or is it mixed? I think it's mixed, yeah. The Fugs with Homemade. Petri, Joe, and the Fish with Section. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young from Woodstock 2 album with a song called 4 Plus 20. Asterix reads Porn and the Manson Murders from In Praise of Decency by Paul Krasner. And I'm going to close the show off, or rather this little mini show, with Abby Hoffman Speaks, which was contributed to Radio for All by a guy named Vincent from Blast Furnace Radio. And part one will be played first. Next is The Crazy People with Parade at the Funny Farm. Abby Hoffman Speaks, part two. Jefferson Airplane from Woodstock 2. Doing Saturday Afternoon and Won't You Try. And closing off is Redbone, Chant, 13th Hour. And good night. And peace.
Ago, but you've seen one IBM building, you've seen them all. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. Well, we came up to Chicago. Opened up, we wanted to give old Julie, my illegitimate old man. Was he old? He went way back. He was around for the first Balkan War. Do you remember that war? He just missed the Titanic, damn it. Can't swim either. That Geritol freak. We sent him so much goddamn Geritol, Ted Mack showed up. Want to audition him, play a judge. Well, let's face it, there isn't a court in this country where we could have put Mayor Richard Daley. You see, and LBJ's was, I was going down to see him, but he said he was busy on his memoirs. Gonna rival the memoirs of Fannie Hill. So, 100,000 people gonna jerk off reading LBJ's memoirs. LBJ taught me everything I know. He taught me the word fuck is the only word left in the English language, and I don't mean with a P-H. F-U-C-K. Because he'd kill the English language. I remember seeing him April 4th, 1968, on the boob tube. Martin Luther King had been assassinated. Riots all over the country. And LBJ came on and shed a tear. They got tricky makeup men to do that stuff. And he said, my fellow Americans, in the memory of his name, we must be non-violent. I put down a journal and said, holy shit, LBJ's a pacifist. I didn't know that. They're liars. History books are full of lies. Racist, honky stuff, like Columbus discovered America when there was already people living here. Woo! washing. Farmer Jones came into Austin with 10 apples, sold them for 2 cents each. How much profit did he make? Profit! That's brainwashing.
We have this rally, you know, and these the transvestites for peace grab the stage, right?
You don't know where it's at! You don't know what freedom is! Freedom is when you put on the dress! You know.
That was making a lot of sense. I was trying to run it down to the North Vietnamese in Paris, you know. But they said, no.
Well, you ever come up north, visit me up in Chicago, where I make my living. I got a hog ranch up there. But, like I said before, I wasn't putting you on. I'm from Muskogee, Oklahoma. We're all from it. We all done left. And you know why we done left? Because they don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. They don't take no trips on LSD. Yippee! We left! Love it or leave it! We left, motherfuckers! Well, we're putting out an album. It's called The Government's Case Against the Conspiracy, The Complete Record. And you like, open it up, no record. I'm a bad idea, we'll have to do that.
We're the crazy people, we're the crazy people.
That's the only alternative. You can die going to work for something like IBM, miles and miles of corridors, sit behind a nice desk. You know? That kind of death. Get a plastic heart. I was in that. And I was a salesman for a drug company. Right. Not Leary's. Not a straight drug company. Germanological. So it was absolute. It was amazing. Working in a job like that. You know, owning an $18,000 home, mowing the lawn, Chevrolet with four doors. It was great. In the suburbs. I found some, like, figures on this drugs that this company was making. Like, the drug cost, like, 0.6 cents to make, you know, and they're selling it for $3. And I would go out. My duty was to go out and find doctors to write articles showing what good drugs they were. And I slipped them like $500, write an article, prove how good the drug was. Then when they'd get the article written, they'd reprint it all, take it around to all the other doctors and say, look how good it is, you know? And you start engaging in this for a long time, and you say, I wonder if that shit's any good. You know, so who are you going to ask, right? I mean, the Dalai Lama, can't find him. So I asked my boss, regional sales manager. I said, hey, just between you and me, you know, I've been with this company a year and a half. Like, is this shit any good? And he says, well, it won't kill you. That's it. It won't kill you. I had down with science. I worked 4 hours a week for that company. And the rest of the time I played for SNCC. Maybe like 70 hours a week. Ran down south, ran around the ghettos in Massachusetts. That wasn't considered work. The other was 4 hours a week. I got $15,000 a year. And finally they caught me, you know. Sort of let him, because that 4 hours was rotting my brain, produced chromosome damage, and it started coming on. So I said, I gotta get out of here. I went to Lower East Side, moving a place. You know, I was the only person who spoke English in the whole building. $23 a month rent. Rats all over the place, gunfights in the streets. People scraping the gutters for food. Food! I didn't believe it. They'll go on Avenue D. Lower East Side, New York, on some Sundays, and you see people sitting on cardboard selling things they have in their kitchen. Selling everything they had. I mean, you start to feel it, you know, and the rats start eating at you and everything. Then you get a feeling like Like you don't have when you go on a children's crusade into Mississippi. Try to help. It's different.
Saturday afternoon.
Sorry about those who got the green. We got a whole lot of orange. And it was fine. It still is fine. Everybody's vibrating.
Be masters.